Thanks for listening and welcome to Rewrite the Rules, the podcast that shows you there is no one right way to live your life. I'm your host, Alex Starr, and I want to expose you to new lifestyles, mindsets, and stories of adventure from around the globe. So pour your favorite drink, roll up a joint, and let's get going. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 29. Thanks so much for listening. I love all of you. This is Damone and Todd. Super excited to have you guys hear them because they are some good friends. They're in their early 50s. I don't want to say 60s. They're in their early 50s, and they actually downsized from two cars, a mortgage and a house, three-bedroom house, with all the fixings, all the stuff that you would assume would be in something like that, in a house like that. And they downsized to two suitcases each and just left yesterday to travel the world for 3 years. Their first stop is Costa Rica, and they're going to do all of South America, Southeast Asia, and see where the road takes them. So pretty excited for them, and they give tons of actionable advice as to how you can let go of things in your life, how their happiness has actually improved since letting go of all of these things that you kind of think you need for happiness, or these end goals of getting a house or having a car and kind of that stability. And they realized that the less that they had and the more they got rid of stuff and the more they got rid of stuff and let go and let go and let go, they saw their happiness go up, 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 up. So very excited for you guys to hear that. I hope you enjoy. As always, find me on alexstarr.com. I'm redoing the whole website, so you can always leave a comment on there. You can check out them. You can check out the video. And do me a huge favor. Leave me a review on iTunes. It would help me a lot and get the podcast more visible. Or share these blogs and podcasts if you're enjoying them. I will see you guys in 2 weeks for episode 30. And I got to decide what I'm going to do for that. Something special. Haven't figured it out yet. But thanks for tuning in, guys. I'll see you guys soon. Okay, cool. We're live, baby. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Welcome, Damone and Todd, to the podcast. What's going on?
Hey, Alex. How's it going?
Hey, Alex. What's up?
You guys have the distinct honor of something. You're the first on my podcast. Can you guess what it is?
The first.
I'm going to guess gay couple.
Yup. Woo-hoo! Breaking into new territories.
There you go.
So cool. Welcome.
21st century, man.
Yeah, that's right.
We make you hip.
I actually thought about that the other day. I was like, I have not had any gay people on my podcast. I'm going to get like attacked by social justice warriors online or something.
See, we're saving your ass.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So we're here in your apartment that is pretty bare.
Bare bones,
very
brother.
Bare bones.
Because you sold all of your shit.
That is correct.
Little backstory on that.
Yeah, why'd you sell it? What are you guys doing? Why are you on the show?
Why would we sell all of our shit?
Why are you talking?
Well, we went to Bali last year, had a great time, and really enjoyed what we saw there, what we experienced, and you know, it was only a 2-week vacation as it usually is when you have to work, and we really tried to put our head together to figure out if we could make it work where we could travel around the world a little bit and kind of see what's really going on.
So we did that and thought about it, and we were like, how can we make this work? Is it even possible? And then I was like, oh, that's a dream. This can't work. But then it kept just nagging at us, and we were like, how can we do this? So we started getting a little bit more serious about it, putting some pen to paper, figuring out how we can do that. And then we were like, what if we just sold everything? Like, sell the house, sell all our possessions, and just go. And when we finally got past that threshold of like...
Well, that was just kind of, at the beginning, yeah. It was just kind of a, let's just even see. I mean, we didn't know what we were expecting. So, and we decided we'd test out the market with our house. That was kind of going to be the litmus test if that was okay. So we put our house on the market. We listed it at a certain price, one that would really help us get to what we're ready to do. And our real estate agent, oh, he poo-pooed it. He was like, no, don't do that.
Not to sell it or not at that price?
Not at that price. Okay. He said, you know, you're going to outprice yourself. You're going to be the highest in this area. He goes, you're going to end up having to take it off the market. I just really recommend not doing it. But Damone and I, you know, we really followed the market.
And sold.
Sold in 3 days. Yes. And above asking price.
Damn.
Yes.
So you guys, what were you, I mean, you guys could both have careers.
Yeah.
Careers. So you were working for 11 years at...
I was working 11 years at a magic company.
Okay.
And I was working for a commercial real estate company.
Okay. What was the, like, what was the deciding factor where you guys, you know, realized, yeah, we're over it. And we're out of here. I mean, like, was this just like a slow accumulation?
A little bit. I think some of that had to do with the fact that the test was the house. We were like, when we tested it and it sold in 3 days, like, we were like, well, I guess this is it. So then it really got the ball running because then we realized we only had 30 days to get out of the place.
Yeah, we didn't even have a place to move to.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, that kind of put the emphasis on it. And then we had a 2,100 square foot home filled with shit. I mean, nice shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, but it was a full house. And, you know, we weren't going to do this if we had to do a storage unit or anything like that. We want to shed freedom.
So how much have you guys gotten rid of? So,
oh, man.
I mean, so well, I guess, what have you kept?
I was going to say, it's probably easier to say.
Yeah, that's a better question.
What have we kept?
Is this apartment that you guys have left?
This is everything that we have left.
Storage unit?
Don't have a storage unit.
You don't have stuff in friends' houses?
No.
Nope.
How many cars do you have right now?
We're down to one family car.
And you're selling that before you leave?
That's correct. Yes.
And you're getting rid of like this couch and all that kind of stuff.
It's already spoken for.
Already sold. We got a mattress that's laying on the floor. And our lovely dining room table that we're sitting here at right now.
And these folding metal chairs. And then, of course, our 75-inch television. I always tell people, we might be looking like we live like savages, but we're not.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said when I walked in. That, yeah, this is two guys living in one place for sure. There's a 90-inch TV that nobody can see.
Exactly.
What are you taking with you then? So you're... hold on. Let's backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
Because... You guys are, how old are both of you?
51.
And I'm 52.
Okay. And I mean, this isn't like a super common thing to do. It's more like someone in their 20s would do.
Right.
So you guys have these jobs and then you go, fuck it, we out.
We out.
You went to Bali, you decide to come back, you put these things into place. And then once you made that kind of like you pulled the switch or, you know, pulled the trigger to actually decide to do this thing, has it just been a constant... Has it been like smooth? Well, I mean, like it's just, you guys just went for it and then everything kind of just fell into place and now.
Pretty much, Alex, what'd
your family say? I mean.
Well, you know what actually ended up happening? Once we made the decision to say we're doing it, it was like the universe just opened up.
Right.
It was like, you know what? This is what you want to do. And we haven't had not one hiccup. It has been smooth sailing ever since. We went into immediate investigation mode, trying to figure out how people do this, what do we need to do. We even got ourselves involved and went to a conference on how to live abroad and where to go. And we met with different people and got the information that way. And then we got the ball rolling. We did all this before we even told our families. So we were prepared, getting all that stuff in order. And then we went in there and told our families what we were getting ready to do.
What'd they say?
Well, on my side of the family, they were just kind of like, you're going to do what?
Right.
And so, what about your house? What about your car? They didn't really understand the importance of it, what it was for us. It was more because what we realized once we started letting stuff go, it was just stuff. And there was nothing that we got rid of that we couldn't recoup again. And this is something that Todd and I had been dreaming about and been wanting to do. So my sisters had a hard, hard time in the beginning. And to the point where it was kind of drama, wasn't it?
It was a bit of drama.
Yeah, so once they kind of regroup and got it all together, I kind of told them, I said, so I kind of need you girls to kind of get together now and put your big girl panties on and help me so I can go tell mom and dad. And so my dad got it behind it 100%, but my mom was kind of struggling because she just didn't know because you know, they have, my mom has not traveled a lot. And we were kind of used to that. So once we did that, I would say it took about a month and a half before they realized that we were serious, because they didn't even know that kept the house from
once
them
they saw well. That we had no more stuff. I mean, we sold everything. I think they bought a lot of it. I think they had to realize, oh, okay, they're really serious.
They're
about
legit.
This.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, Damone didn't really say it, but selling your stuff is really difficult in the beginning.
How so?
You know, it's an emotional thing. You don't really realize your attachment to the stuff that you have in your home until you start letting go of it. And to watch people at a garage sale haggle over something that, you know, you bought some, you know, you had emotion to when you bought it, it was difficult in the beginning. I'm going to say less than halfway through, all of a sudden, we both just started realizing, you know what? This is what we need to do.
And it's just stuff.
Pretty soon we were shoving it out the door.
No way.
Yeah. We were like giving it away, pennies on the dollar. You know, just take it, go. And it felt so freeing.
Yes.
And that was probably the best part of this whole thing, which would be weird because we really got rid of everything. But truly, so far, the best part of it has been letting go of all the crap.
And how did you, because I think that strikes the chord with strikes a nerve with a lot of people, including me. How did you get rid of the sentimental items? When I go through my stuff, I just can't bring myself to like give away that thing my grandma gave to me like 20 years ago.
Right.
Even though I'm never gonna use it and it's nothing. But well, it's like, my grandma looked at it once, like I can't get rid of it.
Right. So I mean, there were certain things that for sure that we kept that meant something to us. But we had to
be serious.
Yeah, we had to really take a survey and go, okay, what we had to make some hard decisions, say this stuff is, what is it doing for us? You know, so once we made the decision, we had a little pile. We made some piles of things. We said, this is the stuff we're going to keep, and this is all the stuff is going to go. So the stuff that we kept, well, I think we ended up having about maybe six crates left of sentimental things and everything else.
And that's like pictures, items that we've picked up on trips.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Things like that, just things that have real sentimental value.
Right.
Yeah, we just couldn't get rid of everything, but I mean, we're going to put that in a friend's garage and be done. So
that's it.
That's it.
Christmas ornaments. There was a few, you know,
sure.
Collecting through kid.
Yeah,
the childhood.
The stuff thing is incredible. So tell me what you guys are actually bringing with you. How much stuff you bring in, and how long are you? How long is this trip for?
Okay, so first,
do you even have a plan?
We do.
Well, the stuff
we have an unstructured plan.
Yes. Okay, and the stuff that we're taking with us, we didn't show you in the other bedroom, but we still have some clothes that we have, and anything that's hanging in there is all leaving. It's going. What we're taking with us is probably about 4 grocery bags of clothes that we just purchased. And so we both are taking 2 backpacks apiece.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
No suit, like these suitcases.
The suitcases.
These suitcases are going, but we got a Tortuga backpack.
Okay.
Awesome. And then an Osprey at REI.
And that's all we're going to take. It. And those suitcases are for sale. So
wait, so just these 2 suitcases, right? Or these backpacks?
These 2 are mine, and they're both backpacks.
Yeah. That's all you're bringing.
That's all we're bringing.
And these 2 there.
For people who are listening to this and can't see it, those are what? How many liters are those
this
backpacks?
This is 44.
That's a 44?
This is a 44.
Oh, my God. Look how small this is. This is all you're bringing.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's our carry-on, and this will be the check. This is a 65.
Wait, so is it both of these for both of you?
That'll be for me.
Okay. So a duffel bag and this backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's impressive. When I went on that 4-month trip, I think I brought I had a 38 backpack with me for a 38 liter for, that was 4 months.
That was 4 months. So this is going to be anywhere between 3 to 4 years.
Dude, that's insane.
42 countries.
Cool. Oh, so you guys, how you guys have it mapped out pretty well?
We have the general idea.
Okay.
A lot of it's going to just go by what our experience dictates.
Right. So we do have one destination first picked out. We're going to, the first place is Costa Rica. And we know for sure that we're going to be there for at least 60 days because we booked
We've already booked our apartment.
That's a good way to do it.
For 60 days. And then we're just going to keep it keep it very flexible because we want to be able to, we don't really have, want to have like time restraints on things because if we really like it, we don't want to be like, oh, sure, we got to be at the next destination here. So we're prepared to use our visas and if we can spend 90 days in Costa Rica, we're going to prepare to stay 90 days in Costa Rica. Right, if we like it, we'll cross the border and go back and stay another 2 or 3 months. So we're just going to play it by ear and just take our times with it.
Incredible. What you mentioned that it was your dream to do this for a long time. What like intrinsic reasons did you guys both have to go do this? To do something that extreme, to go from a 3-bedroom house to drop it down to that duffel bag and backpack.
Right.
And absolutely nothing else. At 50 years old, you guys have probably nieces, nephews, something. To do that, to leave for 3 or 4 years, what are the deep reasons behind that?
Well, they all think we're nuts, that's right, for sure. Truly, we love traveling, and we both love culture. When we do, we go to these foreign places, we always really try to immerse ourselves into the culture, kind of go to the local areas and just see how people live. And, you know, we're kind of a crazy society here in America, and we take a lot for granted. And boy, I tell you, go to some of these, you know, far away locales and you really realize, you know, how nice we have it here, but at the same time, how wonderful they have it there.
And to add to that too, is that there was things that were going on. I lost someone very dear to me and we've been seeing people pass away and we came to a realization that life is just too short.
Right.
And we were thinking, you know, we're not promised to another 10 years. And so we felt like we both have our health. We both, we could travel and do what we need to do right now. Because what if we turn 60 and we don't want to do it?
Oh, we couldn't.
The key thing was, it's just that we started seeing people drop in and we were just like, you know what? We need to take advantage of this while we can and let's go for it. And so that was the major piece that I think for both of us as well, to realize that life is just way too short and we needed to, and plus on top of that, we didn't want to have any more regrets. We didn't want to wake up and go, God, I wish we would have done that. I should have done that. So the beauty of it all is that we're getting ready to do it now. And so even if it just goes for a year or 2 years, we can say we did it. But so that was the driving force for us to kind of.
Have you had a lot of regrets up to this point, you would say? You say you didn't want to have any more.
Yeah, I don't want to say there was any regrets up to the point. I think that you can second guess everything when you make a big decision like this. You start going, can we do this? I mean, you start questioning everything. So I don't want to say that those were regrets. This particular one that we're doing here, this big travel here. We knew we wanted to do this and it was a dream. So I didn't want to have any, we didn't want to have any regrets of not doing this particular incident.
Yeah.
So,
because there's other dreams that we haven't pursued.
Right.
That now we're probably too old to do.
I think one of the best things I've ever, started to utilize was constantly reminding myself that I'm going to die. Has been extremely liberating in the same way that you guys were talking about getting rid of all your stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it sounds depressing as hell to say like, God, you remind yourself that you're going to die every day. But nothing has worked better for me than to constantly be like, when you're fretting over certain things, just be like,
right,
I could easily die tomorrow. Like,
right,
easily.
Right.
Easily die tomorrow. And I'm sitting here. I remember this one time I was thinking about going out in Tucson with like some friends. And it was people I hadn't seen in a long time. And they were asking me, hey, you want to go out with us and stuff? And I started making an excuse like, oh, no, I'm going on a hike in the morning. I can't. Da, da, da. I don't even know why I was making up these excuses.
Right.
And then something clicked in my head after like 2 drinks, of course, where I was like, Alex, you are such an idiot. You literally like are going to die very soon. And you're turning down going out with friends because why? You're like scared of something or you don't want to deal with it. I don't even know what the reason was, but I was literally rejecting life coming at me
right
for some unknown fear. And then when it clicked and I'm like, dude, you're so close to death. like relatively, like go enjoy it. Boom, I had like one of the best nights of my life.
Right. Awesome.
But reminding yourself of that, like you guys are talking about.
It's
and,
true.
Like, man, it makes you make the decisions that, like this one, that are difficult, like on paper.
Right.
But like pay the dividends.
Right.
Well, you know, to kind of add to that too, there was a lesson that we learned through the whole process of letting go of our stuff as well too, because we realized, I mean, we've been together for 15 years, practically. This next year will be 15 years.
Yes.
And so what happens of it is that we've had two houses and we've now let, we don't have any one of the houses. We moved into this one bedroom apartment. And we realized that we're just as happy as we were.
Right.
Without even the houses.
It so, wasn't the house. It wasn't, so it wasn't the stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't even the stuff. It wasn't even the house that
defined us.
And so coming here and realizing that this is really all you really need. It's just a bathroom, a kitchen, a bedroom, and a space. And so.
And a big TV.
And the fucking 200 inch room.
Let's not forget about the TV. Yeah.
No, yeah, that's extremely right. And you guys are going to downsize again.
Yes,
yeah.
We are.
And I'm sure you'll probably have those same sentiments again as you.
But you know what? It's become easier.
Yes.
It has become easier. We have tubs out on our balcony out here, which has stuff that we just didn't have room to store in here.
Mm-hmm.
We've been here for 4 months.
4 months.
Haven't used one thing in the tub. So our thought process is we can let most of that stuff out there go.
Right.
Because exactly. We haven't used it. We haven't been like, oh, damn. Now we have discovered things that we sold, like wine bottle openers and things like that. Always, you know, when you have company and you go, oh, here, let me open this wine. Oh, shit. We don't have that anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What would you recommend to people that are trying to downsize, maybe not this extreme, but in their life? To cut out the crap. How does it get started?
Getting
started is the hard part. First of all, both parties have to be.
The first cut is the deep.
Both people have to be in agreement to do it.
Amen.
Because if it's just one person that's doing it, it's not gonna be a go. So if you can get past, if both people can come up to the step up to the plate and go, yeah, this is what we want to do, then it's just a matter of just starting with small things, because we, of course, we started with our house, but then when we had a moving sale, it was a matter of, we basically said, okay, let's just start putting prices on things. We were just going around.
We were literally pricing things in our house?
In our house.
Oh, just a little post-it notes?
Yeah, yes. We just started putting post-it notes and stickers and said, we'll sell it for this. We'll sell it for this.
When real estate agents were coming through with prospective buyers, they were saying, oh, they're writing their names on price tags. Say, oh, we'll buy that. We'll buy that.
No,
it's
shit.
Crazy. Yeah.
And so once you start getting in the
mind space
and the ability to do it, it becomes a little easier, because then what happens of it is we started noticing our savings account.
Yeah.
Started rising. And we were
dramatically.
Like, oh, okay. We could do this. We could do this. And so, yeah, it ended up being really, working really well for us, because we got a pretty good chunk of change out of that whole thing.
We became dramatically lighter and a heavier wallet. So
yeah.
It's kind of a win-win.
It's crazy, too. I mean, you were saying, too, that your happiness didn't decrease or increased with less stuff and more money.
Exactly. That's right. And, you know, Alex, the other thing to that is that 2 years ago, if you probably would have asked us what are necessities that we needed, it would have been different from where it is now. So when we started this journey, we started realizing what we were going to do. We narrowed it down to four things that we needed. We just needed a safe place, a comfortable bed. We wanted Wi-Fi, and we needed a kitchen. Now, if you would have asked us 2 years ago, it probably would have been washing machine and dryer. We need a TV. We need this. We need
my
that.
Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah. All these things.
Call of Duty,
yeah, exactly. And it now it's minimal. It's amazing. I think that this apartment helped with the transition as well, because we're looking around and we're like, we don't want for anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. I think, God, it's so useful in everyday life to constantly be cleaning stuff out like that, you know? And then almost becomes like a spiritual cleanse at the same time. Oh, no.
That's
time.
Exactly like, what it was. Exactly like. What it was. Damn. Really, believe it or not, because it was one of those things we didn't even realize that we were, the stuff was weighing heavy on us.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And not to the point where it was like uncomfortable, but once the stuff was gone, we just felt so much lighter. You're just lighter. Like, because you can just get up and just go.
It's like
and
your
just,
energy can flow within your house now. Before, you know, there was sofas and tables and lamps and everything, and it just, your energy flowed, but it just, it flowed throughout this stuff, and now it just feels like that's not there. There's no barrier, it's just us. And I have really enjoyed it. It's been great.
So you guys got started by just doing the little knicky-knack, like this lamp, this little thing, and you slowly, as you gain momentum.
We didn't have time for little knicky-knacks here and there because we had 30 days.
Oh, right.
So we kind of put the pedal to the metal, and that helped maybe exacerbate the getting into it really fast. But, you know, I mean, we did some videos, you know, because we've got a website that we are doing that we're following, you know, that we're going to be doing this traveling on. So we were doing videos at that time, so we'd have this big day of sales and people come and take all of our stuff. It was really emotional. We'd sit down and we'd do this little video.
Oh, like a vlog thing. Like a vlog. Do you guys have like kind of a like a step, like you kind of went through your steps of how you did it?
We did.
How do people find that?
Well, we haven't posted them yet. We're saving them for our website.
Oh, what's the website going to be?
We're launching it probably in late June or January. February.
Okay, so by the time this goes live, it'll be up. So what's the website?
It's called nomadicadventurers.com.
Nomadic Adventurers. Okay, cool. That's super helpful. I mean, I'm going to go look through those videos because just to clean out the crap.
And you'll see. It was emotional. I mean,
sure, yeah.
You know, we even, when we sold our house and it was empty, it was our last day, we walked through the empty house and videotaped just saying, wow.
Nice.
We're getting ready to do something.
That's
big
badass.
Here.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? It's like that Tyler Durden quote in Fight Club, you know? The things you own start owning you.
Right.
It's so true. Yeah.
It's like the best line in that movie.
It's so true.
So kind of to switch gears a little bit, did you guys make any decisions based on being a gay interracial couple?
Well, you know, that's interesting that you would say that, because most people probably don't have to think like that.
No.
So I'm
a straight white male. I do whatever
so
I want.
We got two things. We're an interracial couple and we're gay.
Yeah.
And so we literally had to do some research on some of the countries.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't have to worry about that. Most people can just get up and go wherever they want to go. Well, we really had some countries in mind that we wanted to go, and come to realize some of the stuff was against the law to be gay. So we were like, you know what? We decided that if you don't want us there, then we don't want to be there as well.
Right.
So there were some places that we had our hearts on, but we just says, you know what? No
what
need
places?
To go there. One place in particular was Belize.
Oh, Belize.
Really?
Yes.
Is homosexuality illegal there?
Yes, it is.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it? I wonder if it's on the books, but not actually, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like enforced? Or is it, I mean, is it actually enforced?
If I can just interject in here really quick. We found that there's a website, or if you type in whatever country you're going to go to, and then type in LGBT rights after that, or just LGBT after that country, it'll pull up everything about that country related to gay rights, women's rights, you know, if it's legal, if you can serve in the military, everything.
Adoption.
So,
oh, cool.
We went through those, you know, we compared our list of countries to that. And then if they said it was illegal, or, you know, they persecuted people for that, we just didn't even put it on there. So,
interesting.
It wasn't a heartbreaking thing. We're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, cause there's plenty of other countries you can go.
Yeah. There are a lot of countries. I mean, it's really amazing how there are a lot of countries where we can get married. I kind of joked. I said, well, we should get married in every country that we go to that's legal. Come back with a big old stack of marriage certificates.
Well, we had talked about Antigua.
Yes, you mentioned that.
And how gay-friendly that place was in Guatemala. It's crazy because you're right. I don't think about that. I mean, right? Why would I?
But you literally can be attacked and killed in some places for it.
Right.
And You know, I mean, it's not like we walk down the street holding hands and have public displays of affection. We're just not those kind of guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to be seen or labeled as such. And then, you know, God knows what would happen to you. And you're just never seen again. So we thought, well, we're just not going to put ourselves in that situation.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting thing to have to think about.
Right. Being also black and gay, that was kind of an interesting thing as well. And so I remember when we first started doing this, I literally was actually Googling, what's it like being black in Thailand? Or what's it like being black in Thailand? And believe it or not, I know so many videos popped up of what it was like. But you know what? Some people had bad experience, some people had good experience. So Todd and I, you know, we have a belief system that, you know, we're positive people and that we just going to act as if that there's not going to be any problems. And that has gotten us through a lot of things. So we don't base what somebody else's bad experience had
right.
to go, oh, you shouldn't go there because I think that
that was
their experience.
Right.
We could turn around and have a fantastic experience.
Right.
So
and we always have. I mean, we've done a lot of traveling and we've never experienced anything bad.
Right.
And I think it's just because we put positive energy before us and we're respectful of the culture when we go there. So, I mean, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. The mindset of it is for sure is true. Because if you look for something,
yeah,
you'll find it.
It comes 100%. Knocking at your door.
Yeah. And it's just like it reminds me of Yelp reviews. You know, if you look up a restaurant, and it's got, I don't know, say it's got 24 and 5-star reviews, right? And then there's one fucker that puts 1-star, like, the waiter was rude.
Right.
Food came out cold. Then, like, you know, look for this and that. You know, I don't like this that they do. And then when I go there, it's like reading a movie review, too. I have these things in my head of, like, what now I'm looking for.
Right.
Like a movie review. It's like, oh, it got 2 stars, right? Because this, and this. I didn't like that. I can't go in there objectively now. I'm forever tainted, right?
Right.
So same thing. It's like you read these things online, you go there kind of looking for these instances that you read online. And then it's like, I feel like it almost, you notice them and then they happen more because.
Right. Because
you're already there. Like it's in your head now.
It's called the law of attraction.
Yeah. God damn it.
You are attracting it to you because you're focusing on it.
Exactly.
And so when we talked about doing this, you know, everyone started telling us, don't wear jewelry. You know, don't wear your wedding rings. Don't wear your necklaces. Don't wear anything.
So don't be gay?
Well, yeah, exactly. What? We signed on to that. We're just going to go with no jewelry or whatever. But I'm not going to go, well, we're stripped of jewelry because, you know, now they're going to look at us. I'm still going to believe that we're going to be safe.
Yeah.
Because if I start focusing that we're going to be, you know, robbed or something like that, then you're going to draw that to you. And the truth of the matter is that
can happen to you here in the States. I mean, let's face it, look what's happening in the world. It's not this crazy thing going all over the place. So we just said that we're just going to go and be ourselves and try to fit in as with the locals as much as possible and just go for it.
Yeah.
Now, I won't fib. It's kind of a tricky time right now with the viewpoint of America. And as we go across, I'm not really sure what we're going to get because, you know, our politics right now have created a little bit of negative backlash amongst foreigners, immigrants, things like that. And so I'm hoping that we can be great shepherds and go out there and do our thing and not encounter negative backlash. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard this tip before, but I've used it in my relatively limited travels, but in South America and stuff. I never once said I was American.
Yeah.
Someone told me that like 5 years ago. They said, when you travel, don't say you're an American. Say you're a Californian.
Right.
You're from California. And I've never had a problem with it ever because they say, where are you from? I'm from California. One, everyone knows where California is.
Right.
And two, you automatically get this like chill card.
Right.
Oh, they're not American. They're laid back. California. They don't care. They're not like the real Americans. Yeah. You know, they're not like the dickhole Americans we see on the news. He's from California.
That's his right. tip.
Yeah, that's good. A good
and
tip.
It was, and it's worked every single time. It's unbelievable. Hmm. You know, you just said something about like being kind of like the ambassador to people. It's crazy how like you do become in these, especially like in the secluded areas that you start traveling to. I remember I met a guy from Spain, and I think where did I meet him? In Colombia. And he told me, we were hanging out, we became super good friends. He spoke English great and stuff. He became a homie like the 2 weeks that we were there,
right?
Hanging out at this like hostel on the beach. And he goes, hey, you know what, Alex? Like, you know, you're like the first American I've really hung out with, a guy from America. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, I mean, like, you're pretty cool, man. But I thought you guys were all just like total just idiots, stupid. I'm like, where are you getting this information from? And he's like, oh, I don't know, videos online and stuff. Yeah. I thought all of you were stupid, fat, and lazy, and just annoying and loud. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of fucking loud. So like, you got me there. But he's like, yeah, like, you know, you're pretty cool. Like, we're enjoying ourselves. And I'm like, yeah, man. I didn't realize that whole time I was being an ambassador for our country.
Like, that's true. That's true.
Everywhere you go, representing it.
And, you know, it's interesting that on the flip side of that a little bit is that we just did an experiment. We just kind of, through these travels, we wanted to actually get our, we wanted to find out where we were from.
Oh, okay.
And so what's happening is we did the whole ancestry thing, and we realized that
got our DNA stuff done.
Like, yeah. And it just brought to the forefront that there is only one race, and it's the human race. And so we're all connected. And as soon as people can realize that, once they get to know you, it just kind of opens up a whole new thing.
I am so European. And I was born and raised in California, but I was like 96% Europe.
Oh, really?
With Great Britain, 70%. It was just like, wow.
Yeah. I'm 82% African, and I have 14%.
No. Yeah.
14% European in me.
Really?
Yeah.
And he has some West Asia.
Yeah.
I do too.
1% Native American. I mean, so it just made it real clear that the human race is just the one race, and we're all connected to some degree. Sure.
Yeah. And I think you're right in that just hanging out with someone. I saw a video or an article online the other day talking about how this black guy, I think I'm gonna mess up the story, but the gist of it is that this black guy in like the 70s in the South, or the 60s in the South,
right,
single-handedly dismantled the local KKK chapter by just going and hanging out with them.
Wow.
And so he went and started hanging out with them and talking to them, and then after a few months they're like, shit.
Like, wait, this that blows that.
Yeah, like this guy's blows. Just like us, you know. Like, so I think just being around the type of people and whatever it is, whether it's even, you know, Mexicans or blacks, or, you know, some people hate Americans, or it's just because,
well,
it's haven't hung out with them yet.
It's funny you would say that.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, because tied on the heels of being ambassadors, Damone and I, in our now going on 15 years together, we have met so many people who have met us, gotten to know us, and has said to us, wow, I didn't know gay people were like you. You know, or that you guys
are just like us.
Yeah, you know, you guys are just normal and cool. And we've really noticed that we've touched a lot of people together and have changed a lot.
Whoa,
of,
Todd, we don't need to go. Jesus.
That's a different podcast.
God, I mean, it's explicit on iTunes.
No, I mean, we've touched a lot of people and changed their viewpoints
and have become dear friends of ours now.
They have. We have some, you know, some people who before would have probably had some really raunchy things to say to us, but have turned around and just embraced us and said, wow, you guys are normal and cool. you know, and I'm expecting that when we take that abroad, we're going to take that philosophy and they're going to see that as well.
Right.
They're going to be, you know, hey, wow, okay, they might be gay, but look, they're normal people. And you know, so as long as you just act like you're a normal person and just be who you are, people see that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and we break down stereotypes by doing that.
Right. Oh, for sure. That whole like show, don't tell mentality.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable.
Right.
You know, instead of going around saying, hey, like, you know, this is better. We're better. This isn't as bad as you think it is. It's like, man, just show people who you are.
And right. Just be you.
Yeah, unless you're a douche, don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I always wonder that, like, when it's like, just be you. And I'm like, what if you're a total dick?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Be the you that's cool.
Yeah, be the cool you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you guys will have a lot of chances, I mean, to be these, like, ambassadors for a lot of different things.
Right.
I mean,
I'm hoping so.
A lot of different, like, like, you know, just like American and black people and gay couples. And
right.
Like,
yeah.
You guys are just going to cover all the bases.
And kind of have a whole thing. I mean, that's kind of the whole purpose of our website and different things is that, you know, our tagline is it's never too late to live out your dreams.
Yeah.
And so we're hoping that we're going to inspire other people to get up and go do other things and live out their dreams. And at 52 and 52, 51 and 52.
You
know, that's
we've had so many people say, "Oh my gosh, I've so wanted to do that." And I go, "Well,
why don't you?
Why don't you then?"
I think what holds a lot of people back and what complicates things when I talk about this with other people as well is kids.
Yeah, kids, right? Is a big
I think it's a
factor.
Lot easier when you don't have kids.
Kids is a big factor.
But it's still doable.
It's still
and
doable.
You know what? The thing is, and I'm speaking from personal experience, excuses are a motherfucker.
Yeah, they are.
And
yeah.
They, as soon as you decipher and you figure out one of them, the next morning you wake up and there's five more just waiting in their place.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
And nothing ever happens.
No. And then you're 65 and you're like, "Oh, well, I never did any of those things."
Right.
And that's what we didn't want
right.
to be.
Right. So tell me about the finances of this. I mean, without getting too personal, I know people get weird about money, but for people listening and thinking, whether they're 20, you know, or 50, I think a lot of my demographic is like, you know, more like 20 to 35 year old range. So getting rid of stuff is good for them. But
right.
How are you guys funding this?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. People, that is definitely always on the mark where people want to go, "How are you doing that? And what's right. going on with that?" Well, just like with anything else, there is some planning involved, you know. So you everyone has a different budget. And so there is a budget that we had in place, and we had to look at that and figure out how we can do that. And once we came up with that particular budget, we looked at all the countries that can fit that. And so
there's actually a website.
Yeah. That kind of helps you out with that.
Yeah.
And the other thing to that of it is that, you know, there's a...
What's that website?
I don't want to plug... I can plug this guy. This guy, we read this what's book. Matt, what's his name? How to Travel the World in 50 Days.
Oh, Nomadic Matt.
There you go.
NomadicMatt.com. There you go.
So he was very inspirational.
I used a lot of his stuff too.
Yeah, and so basically I looked at his stuff and I was like, $50 a day, boy, that's really nothing. That's kind of everybody's kind of a budget per se.
Yeah.
And so we kind of used that and guided that and kind of created our own. And so with that fit the budget that we needed to have to mm-hmm. go do this. And so.
And it's really doable.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really set out and you look at the economy in a lot of these places, you realize what we pay here. I mean, the money that we pay here would go a million miles abroad. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. What was
seriously.
That? What was that when we went to Bali? What was it? It was like 37 to 1 or something.
Oh, yeah. Like 37 of their dollars to our $1.
Well, even the peso right now is like 22
right.
to 1.
I mean, exactly.
It's so yeah. crazy.
So, I mean, that says something for the country as well. So, you know, we're going to be taking our monies that we have and using that and... That's going to fund the whole thing, so we're going to be gone.
Do you guys have pensions coming in? Do you have any income coming in?
We do.
Yes, okay. We do. We do have some income coming in.
Okay. So you guys are making a budget off of continued income.
That we is
are.
Correct.
Okay.
But, I mean, we're going to be able to live off of that and put money back into savings.
Because right. you're doing it so cheap.
Right.
As opposed to before. If you would,
if we had done it here.
If you would have quit and stayed at your house.
Right. We would have used it all up. Yeah. And then some.
Actually. And the other thing to that of it is we'll be saving more money traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Than living here. Because insane, if yeah. you think about it, here in the States, everyone has mortgages. You have car payments. You have insurances. You have all this. Well, when we're traveling, we're not going to have any of that.
Nothing.
So that frees up a whole lot of money right there. A lot of people don't think like that and look at that, but there gives you extra income right then and there. So that's what's going to also be helpful for us because we did the math on that. Looking at that, it was like, boy, it sure is a lot of stuff that we were paying that we don't have to be paying.
We had a lot of outgoing money, you know, going to different credit cards, mm-hmm. insurance.
And we kind of made sure that all that was taken care of before we left. So yeah, that was another piece.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time closing all that down. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, the simplicity of it. Man, I can't be talking to you guys when I'm about to go move. I just got like a car and now I'm moving to
welcome to the real world, Alex.
That's what I'm going to keep saying, man. And you guys are doing the opposite.
Well, we've been here for a while, so we're ready to step out.
Yeah, that's true. Huh? Yeah, I think that simplicity is the name of that game.
Right.
Looking forward to it.
Bringing everything down to like just what matters.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
people say, well, perfect example. We had dinner with my mom the other night and she said, well, what are you going to do with yourselves all that time? And I said, well, I mean, sure, we'll definitely go to museums and maybe, you know, go to this or that. But I said, there's going to be the beauty of just waking up someday and laying in a hammock and mm-hmm. reading a book,
mm-hmm.
you know, or not doing a damn thing, just enjoying being, mm-hmm. you know. And I so look forward to that because we get so caught up in the rat race here.
Yeah.
You know, the day flies by, it's done. And you're like, oh my God, it's already the end of the day. And what did you do for it? Well, you worked for somebody all day for them, put money in their pocket. And I'm ready to step out of that cycle right. and not do that anymore.
Right. And I think what it comes down to too is finding that middle ground where you're still working and being productive, but it's things that you choose to do.
Right. Great. And that's exactly it. What it's great example. I mean, like, you know, Todd's a teacher. So if we get out there and we choose and we see a need to, because we're, you know, we want to sometimes support the countries of where we're going to. So there could be an opportunity where Todd can teach English. For me, I'm not opposed to doing volunteer work in any kind of way. That I can. So we're open to that. So what we're trying to do is just keep an open mind, kind of whatever comes our way. And if mm-hmm. it feels right, we feel like that's what we're going to try to do and move exactly. forward and do it.
Yeah, there's a couple of websites. I want to mention this for people listening and you guys too. Workaway.info and then helpx.com. And then of course there's Woofing, which is WWOOF.org. And all of those have awesome places that like the workaway.info one has, like, you can help at a hostel, you can right. work on a farm,
yeah.
you can teach English,
yes.
you can be helping out a family as like a nanny or something. You can do all these things, and usually you stay and eat for free in return for 4 or 5 hours a day of work that you choose how long you want to be there. You choose how much you want to do.
That's right. perfect.
And you choose your location. You can say, oh, 3 weeks in the forest working on a farm. Sweet. Oh, now we're going to the city. I'm going to do that hostel. Now I'm going to go back to a farm. Now I'm going to go help out this family. Now I'm going to go teach English. And it's the way to travel.
Right.
You, like you said, you're saving money, and people listening that maybe don't have income coming in.
Absolutely.
That's the way I always recommend. Pick a country that you want to go to and just go on workaway.info.
That's great.
And just find, you know, a farm or just a hostel or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for 2 weeks and then you have a little home base like you guys are doing. And then...
Right.
Boom. You jump off from there.
That's great. That's
and you're awesome. Always, you're not spending too much money.
Right.
It's a great way to do it.
There right. are so many ways to really fund doing what we're doing. You just have to be creative about it.
Right.
And you don't have to have a steady income of money. We're following people on the internet who have done this. They don't have generating money coming in, right. but they get out there and they do like what you're saying.
Right.
They make themselves available out there. And it funds them and their journey.
Right. Kind of sense using your own skills that you actually have.
Right.
And making something out of it.
Right.
You know, and my volunteer work, one of the things I also want to do is that I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict. So I want to give back that way because I want to go and share my story to help other people out there as well. So that's something that was given to me so freely. I feel like I still have to constantly give that back. So that would be awesome to be in a different country and being a part of some recovery in someone else's life over there would be awesome as yeah. well.
Yeah. And now to actually have the time to go do that.
Yeah.
Another thing about saving money that you might want to have your listeners do is we got credit cards that have flight miles.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And yes. we're doing the travel hacking. I don't know if you're familiar with travel hacking.
No, explain it. Yeah.
I'll let you explain. You're pretty good explaining that.
Well, travel, that sounds awesome.
I know. It's one of these things, you know, cause we're telling off on our age. There's a lot of these young guys, people that we've been following that are doing this. And people who travel, like we're getting ready to do this extensive travel, they don't pay for any plane flights.
Right.
So what they're doing is using credit cards to fund their travel. So you earn points by using a certain credit card, and then when you book your flights, you use those points for miles.
Right.
And there's certain cards that are better than others. There's a lot of different people. We follow this guy, thepointsguy.com. We follow this other people on YouTube that teaches you which cards to use, how to use it, take advantage of it, book a flight. And that way you can save money, because that is going to be your most expensive thing, mm-hmm. is getting to your destinations.
And as long as we just keep paying everything instead of using cash, as long as we are available to use a credit card.
What card is it?
It's the Chase Sapphire Reserve.
Cool.
And yeah, they gave a sign-on bonus of 100,000 points just to start off.
Right.
And then it's a, you get 3 points to every dollar spent on dining out or travel. And so, I mean.
And that travel, it consists of any hotels, any air flights, Airbnb,
buses.
Parking, buses, wow, taxis.
Start racking it up. Yeah, parking meters.
Yeah, you can just start racking it up. And so, you know, when we first started doing this, I was thinking, boy, how are we going to, now you have to spend $4,000 within the month to get those.
3 months
to get those 100,000 miles. And I was trying to figure out, how can we do that? Well, we just started putting everything on there. It's amazing how much money we spend monthly. And so it got to the point where I think I had like $100 in my wallet, and that $100 lasted me for like a month and a half, because I never even used the cash anymore. Everything. Charge everything and you just pay the card off.
And then all those points just pile up. And then before you know it, you've got 12 flights available to just go anywhere.
We could actually fly right now if we wanted to. We could fly a round trip from here to Tokyo. And we can fly business class, and all we have to do is just transfer the points.
Wow.
So that saves us quite a bit. Or you can use that in, you know, 12 different other flights in kind of way.
Yeah,
just
code flights.
Right, Well, I'll put all this information up on the show notes. Sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy.
Yes.
My new website.
Credit cards are the way to really fund your travel.
Well, and I'll put all those, I'll have you guys send me the links, all the videos you guys have watched and all the stuff, and we'll put all that up for people listening.
That'd be great.
To wrap it up here, give me three, if I was to be thinking about doing this, what are the top three things, like, tomorrow, if I'm like, you know what, I really want to start selling my stuff, and God, I would love to go travel for 6 months to a year or longer, what are the three things I should do tomorrow morning to kind of get the ball rolling?
Wow, what would be the three things that we would recommend?
Well, that's a good question. I would say, because tomorrow's kind of like a...
Yep.
The next week, maybe. Yeah.
I was trying to make it super dramatic.
Yeah, super dramatic. No, I get you.
I think the first thing would be is to get your affairs in order, as far as like your finances, whatever that is, whether, you know, if you... Of course, it doesn't make any sense to go out there and travel if you're in debt up to your...
Right.
But, you know, so I would think the first thing to do is to kind of break that down and see where you are,
get your finances and orders and affairs. I would also say that if you're traveling with somebody, they need to be on the same page with you.
Yep.
And know where you want to go. Yeah. Figure that out. I mean, we have a pathway that we're following. We don't have a time frame, but we definitely have a pathway. You want to research where you're going. You want to make sure where you're going is affordable, has the things that you're looking to do. So that would definitely be important.
Right.
And then selling everything. And just start. Craigslist will become your best friend.
Absolutely. We didn't have to. I think we only had to mail out one thing out of all of our stuff that we've had. Everything sold. We had one moving sale and just about everything sold in one day. We had things like our bedroom suite and mattress sold within 10 minutes of placing it on Craigslist. The key thing to that is selling stuff at a cost is where it's going to sell.
Right.
You can't get caught up in how much money you spent for it. Yeah. So the kind of the key thing to that is a third of that.
A
third of what you spent.
Thing to come in at.
And you'd be surprised how much family and friends would buy your stuff.
We'll go over to Damone's sister's house and it's like walking in to our old living room. It's like, oh, I like your furniture. Nice taste.
Nice. Those are perfect tips. Cool, guys. Well, man, I wish you the best of luck. I'm stoked to see where it goes. What's the website one more time? People can follow your adventures on
nomadicadventurers.com.
Okay, cool.
We also have a Facebook page.
We have a Facebook and Instagram, which you can find on that webpage.
Cool. And that'll have all the just kind of the step by step process of selling everything and,
yep.
and yep. hitting the road.
Yep. Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome. That's going to be a good resource for people listening and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All Thanks right. a lot, Alex. It's yeah. been yes. great.
Cool. All
right, guys. Pleasure. Right on, man.
Later.
Later.
Peace. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. In 2 weeks, I'm going to have two people that have been traveling around the country in their van for the past 3 years, working and traveling at the same time. You can check them out at Where's My Office Now on Instagram or on their website. Pretty cool stuff. Going to have them on. I actually did a Skype podcast with them from Maine. They were in Maine. I was in California. So pretty cool. And I appreciate you guys tuning in so much. And leave me a review if you get a time, get some time on iTunes. And I will see you guys soon. Later.